Thank you. Thank you. Hello, everybody. I've got a handheld going. So they're going to cramp my style today. I don't have my thing here yet. So I don't know if I can speak without using my hands much. So I may have to do it this way. Or I could have somebody come up and just hold it for me and see if that'd be a moving target. Good morning. So nice to have all of you here as you've been welcomed already. And on Baptism Sunday, I typically speak, or whoever's speaking speaks early, and then we save the best till the end. And we're looking forward to that today. So I think last count, I think we had around 26 that are going to be baptized between this service and next service. So it's always a great celebration. Yeah. So many neat things always going on. I just want to remind you, I just noticed the Alpha table out there, and Pastor Andrew said, I think they had in the 40s there this week, another 10 signed up. It's not too late to get into Alpha. That's, man, if you have questions, your friends have questions about faith, that we're not trying to shove you through a knothole, but it's a progressive study that just opens your heart to searching questions, and just a lot of people discover Jesus in a new way through that class. Also, that's on a Thursday night now, but on Wednesday night, we still have Celebrate Recovery, and that's for people and family members with hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and that's just week after week. It's a great community, and there's things there, so please check that out. You know, a lot of us that are struggling, you're never going to get out of the rut you're in unless you get accountable, unless you make some connections there. So this is a great time for that, as season, as fall. You know, because everything's after the fair, right? Now life can get back to normal. We know, you know, that the Worcester Wayne County Fair is a national holiday, right? On that Monday. It's celebrated by one and all. So thank you for that. So just keep in mind, through the week, there's just so many things going in here. We have community-based things going through the week this time as well, every week in this season. And then just a reminder, too, Dixie and I are in the middle of a blitz on having people in our home. It started on our birthday. I think we topped 300 people there that came and went. But this is different than if you're there for birthday. We still have, and we'll make sure we have enough food, but I have cards here. We're doing a gathering tonight at our home and tomorrow night. And if you're a newer family and haven't been there, we would love for you to come. Come hungry if you could, but that's tonight going to be between 5 and 8 and then to Monday night as well. So please, 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 we would love for you to come. Don't make me chase you down, because I know who's on the list. And if you're not there, I will be knocking on your door, okay? So I found that if I give people an eye-to-eye and heart-to-heart invitation, that works better than even a card sometimes. So we can still take some today. Just give us a register. That makes whether we need to go to KFC and get some extra chicken or whatever we need to do, okay? All right. So many guests today, and we welcome you. We're just going to be who we are and do what we do. But I just love the celebration. When it comes to baptism, we'll hoot and holler and cheer. I mean, some things are worth cheering about, right? And if anything is, this is. Welcome to College of Worcester students here again. How many College of Worcester here? Raise your hand. Look at this crowd. Can we welcome them again? I love it. We opened our home to 15 of them. Some of you didn't come, and I'm really upset. I'm really hurt that you didn't. No, Dixie does all the work, and I do all the entertaining. You know how that goes? But we're so glad, and when we have something the next Sunday for people in their 20s, that's another thing I want to labor on, because we have so many people in their 20s, both single and married, that come to church. But you know the problem is, you don't know who each other are. And we've got to meet. So when we get there, we'll have some staff there, some board members there. But it's just a time to eat and to fellowship. So please, please, please sign up. You can do that. There's a card at the Welcome Center if you haven't been invited. But next week, next Sunday, people in their 20s, okay? Just give me, if you're not ashamed to raise your hand in church or afraid to, I'm not going to embarrass you, probably. But If you're in your 20s, just raise your hand high. Come on, keep it up a minute. Look all over. Look around, everybody. Look at that. That's amazing. So we want to see you. We want to see you at our home next Sunday night, if you possibly can, or whenever that may be. All right. Well, we're in the middle of a series, precisely because I think it's 3 weeks. You never know with me, but I think it's three. And the title is Living the Good Life, Living the Good Life, which is really, I call, living the God life. But this is really practical, and we talked about some things last week about what Jesus did, and I directed you to a particular passage that's very familiar, because Jesus said in the discourse, he said in John, I believe it is 14, he said, he begins with this statement, and I'll come back to it, don't let your hearts be troubled, or don't be troubled. And the bottom, the last verse in that comes down to this, don't be troubled. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Many of us have heard those three things, and they're all important, never compromise. But we're focusing on Jesus is the way. And I am convinced that that's the only way to the good life is to walk with Jesus, who is not a way, but he is the way. And we want to talk about that. So, I ask you questions, and I don't expect you to answer out loud, but I want you to ponder it. And I wonder, how would you assess the life you're living right now? Are you satisfied? Is it good? Is it going in the direction you want it to go? Or could it be that in our hurried pace and our busyness and all that, that the life we're living now may be the very thing that's hindering us from truly living the good life, which is the Jesus way? Now, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not saying so. But it seems like our culture is more and more moving at a frantic pace. Would you agree? I mean, some of you are already thinking about where you've been and where you're headed after this today. I wonder. I think the speed of our lives increases so gradually, sometimes we don't know it, that our lives are bordering on out of control. I've heard different stories, but this one I know for sure. This is a true one. My friend who was elder, he had a great, great wife. She died. They were youth ministry team members for me, and a great lady. She went to be with Jesus, and after a time, a few years, he started dating again on the very first date. So this, I want you to get it. This isn't for teenagers. This is, I suppose they were in their 50s then. On the very first date, he had her over to his home, and he fixed her a meal. And while he was fixing it, she decided to jump on his treadmill in the exercise room. The only problem was she didn't know how to operate it. And she got on it, but she couldn't get off. And somehow, I mean, it was, you know, just, oh, this is good, you know, this slow walk. But somehow she hit a button and kept going faster and faster. This is first date, mind you, dignified woman. It got going faster and faster. She didn't know how to stop it, how to get off. And I'm here to tell you, that treadmill spit her out like a watermelon seed because she couldn't keep up. Off the back, she literally put both of her legs through a newly finished wall in the exercise room. You know, the studs here, but you can go through a drywall. Do you think that was their last date? No, he ended up marrying her. Boy, oh boy, I think he needs some good counseling, don't you? But you know what? That's how a lot of us live. Our lives are so much out of control that we don't even realize it, but we can't keep up, and it just seems to be overwhelming. So let's get practical today. So many lives and therefore families are so busy that their lives are out of control. Busy work. Does anybody like busy work, like when you were in school? Did you ever feel that way? Like your first day of classes, do they think this is the only class I'm taking? You know, how many papers do I have to write this term or whatever? Busy work. Does anybody like busy work? I mean, you're just doing it to be busy, and that's so much of what we do. And if we're not careful, it'll consume our lives. And that pace of life often picks up, especially when our kids start getting older, and we think they need to be in this, that, and the other so gradually we don't realize that our lives are literally careening down the road, dangerously close to being out of control if they're not already. And maybe that's some of you today. Maybe this is a time for you to sit quietly and take a deep breath and just kind of exhale. But some of us in this room, within the sound of my voice, you may be thinking about this, that there just aren't enough hours in the day. There just aren't enough nights in the week, and there's not enough weekends a month. And what used to be a walk in life, we're not sure when it happened, but it's now at the minimum a jolting jog or even a desperate sprint to try to keep up. This way of living robs us of our time and energy until we have little time left for things that we love. More importantly, to be with people we love and who love us. The pace and intensity begins to wear us down and takes us out. And somewhere along the line, there may be an ache in your heart today thinking, is this all there is? There's got to be more. Something's missing. In our culture, would you agree with me that there's so many reality shows, all those things that have happened over time, there seems to be a need for speed. In other words, the faster, the better. People seem to, in fact, despise slow. And you know what that leads to? What I believe is a common problem in this room today, and I'm sounding my voice. It leads to sometimes a chronic case of boredom. Unless you're going full tilt, full speed, you're bored. When I was a youth pastor, which I was for a lot of years, 16 years, I loved it, still love teenagers, college students, but I loved the relational side of that. But one of the things that started that I was never allowed to say, it was like a four-letter word in our home. I could never say B-O-R-E-D. That's a five-letter word, but it was treated as a four-letter word. You get the drift. I was never allowed to say I was bored. And after if I ever tried it, I'm going to tell you in very short order, I learned never to say it again, because I'll tell you what I do. I'll give you a reason not to be bored. So when I was a youth pastor, that started coming up like I'd never heard before with an attitude, I'm bored. So I'd get them one-on-one, guys and girls, and I'd say something like this, bored, huh? And I'd ask him, can I ask you a real deep personal question? Where does boredom come from? I don't know. You know, those great conversations with teens. Yeah, no, I'll shrug. And then I would say and kind of lead him into it. Very few said it on their own, but I'd say, well, boredom comes from within. Every time they'd go, are you saying I'm a boring person? I said, no, you said it. You said it. But you don't you think that's a problem? The boredom and the isolation factors run together in our culture, and it doesn't lead to living the good life that God has promised for all of us. In my adult years of ministry, more in the last several years, and not so much now, but I would ride horses a good bit. Some of you have seen Cowboy Bob, as I alluded to him last week, told that story that he told. He's at the door, and we would go to Mohican and ride the trails, and earlier in my ministry, I did it. But you know, in my younger days, it was like, get on a horse because speed. How fast can this animal go? But you know, for true horsemen and women, what's really delightful is going to Mohican in the fall, if you can dodge the people that are hunting, you know, with the vest and all that. It's we weren't running the horses, we were walking them slowly. Has anybody been on a trail light ride like that? You don't run horses through the woods, you walk. And I got to tell you, those were some of the most stress-relieving and peaceful times in God's creation. I could just feel the stress just running out my toes. But we walked the horses. We didn't run the horses, we walked them. A favorite answer now. Maybe you told me this today as I greeted some of you. I ran out of songs today, so I didn't get around to that section. Nothing personal. But what's the common answer when you say to somebody, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Busy, busy, busy. Do you ever stop and say, busy doing what? Busy doing what? What are you busy with? Does it have any eternal significance or value at all? I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just asking, and I want you to think about it, because we'd all say busy. I think in our culture, the abnormal has become normal. We've normalized that frantic pace of living like I talked about. And I want to tell you, it's not normal, and it's not best, and it's not the example that Jesus gives us. There no longer seems to be time, although we have the same amount of time our parents and grands had. There's no longer time made, I should say, for things that matter most. Like, first of all, time with God. One-on-one. Relational stuff. And how about the family table? We call it come to the table around here. Lingering meals and conversation with friends around that table. Yesterday, a longtime friend of mine, we were best men for each other in the wedding, Scott Fleming. He's been serving and working in basketball programs for the NBA and other in India, of all places, for years. And he came in about noon yesterday or so. And through the evening, we just talked and talked and talked. And I want to tell you, we sat around our round hickory table from the cabin store and just spent some valuable times catching up. Are those the best times in life or whatever? You know, and I would caution you, if I was talking to families today, young families, I would say one of the things that we overlook the most is spending time together around the table. I didn't always like it. Sometimes growing up, I felt like a captive and I had to be around it too long. But some of the best things, when you invest quantity, how many of you know the quality moments come out of the quantity? And one of the first things you can do to reclaim your family is start having family meals together. I mean, no excuses, all together. I don't care if you have to eat together at 10 p.m. at night. It's worth it. You'll have indigestion all night, but they have medicine for that. Seriously, just slowing down and hearing and letting your kids or grands express themselves. And we would say, no bragging around this table, whatever. We want to hear from you. It's not bragging. It's telling us where you are. But I'm concerned about that. So I've been looking. I think the answer is found in this. Jesus said, I am the way. And so we're talking about the Jesus way in this little series. So it's our desire to live and to love as he did. We used to sing songs when I was growing up, the church, so many songs about Jesus. I have one deep desire. I want to be like Jesus. You know, that was our heart's desire. I thought of this morning that song in the garden. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. That intimate connection there, those were common things that I would often hear. But I thought about that passage, and I don't think I have it up for you today, but I read specifically John 14 last week, 1 through 6, that starts, don't let, various translations, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you trust God, trust in me. And so the rest of those scriptures, they are the answer for your troubled heart and for your hurried life. For your life and your family that borders on being out of control, he said, let me teach you in this scripture what that's all about. I think of Romans 28 and 29, and that is so often quoted because we love that. Oh, all things work together for good for those who love and are called according to his purpose. But the second part of that is really important because he said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, he uses all things to conform us to make us more like. In other words, he uses all the things in life to put us on the Jesus way because that is the only path to life. Where he said, I am the way, the truth, and life. He was saying, I am the only way to life. Oh, you can live however you want. You have your choice, but you're not really living until you are connected with me and linked with me. And really, that's what baptism is all about, celebrating that connection, that link with Almighty God. Jesus spent a few brief years on this earth, and in 3 years of public ministry, in those short years, what did he do? He accomplished his Father's mission and calling. Listen what he did. He rocked the world by recruiting and training and releasing 12 disciples to do kingdom work, and it's never stopped. He endured so many things. He was hated and resisted by religious leaders in ways that was off the chart that we know nothing of. He had a head-to-head, I could just call out items, head-to-head confrontation with Satan and his temptations in the wilderness. He healed many along the way that who were sick, and he showed compassion, constant compassionate love no matter where he went. The only way you can do that is to take your time. That's what he did. To those who were hurting, he fulfilled all kinds of Old Testament prophecies. He preached the truth of God without fear or favor. And the Bible says in Luke 52:52, as a young person, Jesus kept growing. He kept getting better, as I like to say. It said he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Being in favor with God and man doesn't mean you're going to win popularity contests on this earth. It doesn't mean everybody's going to like you. It doesn't mean that there's not ever going to be any resistance. But we're growing in favor with God and with those who love him. That's powerful, powerful truth. He did so many things. I got thinking about that, and I was flashing back to a memory. We've been talking about Easter already, the celebration coming up. And for those of you that don't know, we did what we called Easter ministry here for 8 consecutive seasons in the other building. It started a year or two after we came, and our last one was maybe in 2004. And we're looking for that DVD of the last production. So if you have any connections there, please, could you get it to us? We really want to use that maybe around the Easter season this year. But I thought about a song when Kathy came. I think Dixie and Pam were talking about a particular scene, and we needed a song to depict it. And in just a few very short time, like overnight, she wrote the song Wounded Healer. Has anybody in the crowd ever heard of Wounded Healer? The only way you could have ever heard it was here because this is a house song for sure. But I pulled this. This reminded me of Jesus. Listen, because I want us to get this. This has everything to do with tying into baptism. I want us to understand the breadth of it, the significance of it. Here's some of the words. Not all, but some of them. Gorgeous song. Wounded Healer, that refers to Jesus, hung between the earth and sky. Can you relate? I was looking for the cross. There it is. I want us to think about that. I want us to picture that. Listen, your blood flows there as if you came here just to die. Some songwriters pen, he was born to die. But listen, it gets even better. But on the way, you healed the lame. On the way, did you get that? But on the way, on the journey, you healed the lame. Made blinded eyes to see again. This is right out of scripture. You raised the dead out of their graves, and now you give your life, my own life, to save. Wounded Healer. I tell you what, that gives me spiritual goosebumps when I read those words. Because that's exactly what he came to do. He came facing the cross, walking to the cross with determination. But his destination wasn't along the way. He touched so many people. Do you understand that? On the journey, on the way. Here's an example in Mark chapter 2, verse 14. And we could pull these out, but here's a random one. It says in verse 14, as he, Jesus, walked along. As he, you know, he didn't have his eye closed. He wasn't ready to get there. He noticed people along the way. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth of all things and of all people. And he said to him, he looked at him. I had eye contact, I'm sure, and said, follow me and be my disciple. That's what Jesus said. And what did Levi do because of that compassion, that directness? The Bible said he got up, and it doesn't say he ran with Jesus, but he followed Jesus. He was linked with Jesus. And that's the invitation today, and that's what baptism is all about, is being linked with Jesus, because the invitation is to come to me and find life and walk with me, not sprint with me or run with me, but walk along with me. As I read about the story, and I take God's word in all the time, I hardly miss a day that I can think of. I'm sure I have, but rarely. It seems like Jesus accomplished most of the important stuff. I didn't say urgent, but the most important stuff when he was walking along the way. And I introduced that topic a little bit last week. It's like his whole ministry wasn't a hurried rush. It was a journey. It was an along the way walk. He never seemed to be rushed, never seemed to be too busy for people with needs. And he never was pressured seemingly by people who were pressuring him to do this or that for them. He took his time. He lived for, as one author said long ago, Jesus lived for the important, not the urgent. And he knew what was important. I love it. I've read this many times, the Westminster Catechism, but the shorter catechism boils down to this. This is the way to living the good life. This is the formula. The chief end of man, in other words, what's going to give us significance in life, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Has anybody ever heard that before? The chief end of man and men and women, all of us, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And the only way we can do that is to not know about him, to be in a life-changing relationship with him. Agreed? That's the good life. I read slowly, and I like to read the scripture slowly with great emphasis, but today I want to read a passage I read last week in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, but I'm going to read this from the Message. It's not a translation. It's a pastor's paraphrase, based upon all kinds of Greek and Hebrew study. But listen to this. These are relevant words to us today. I've read this many times. When I do devotion sometimes through the years, I like to use different versions of the Bible that I read through. But listen to this, a pastor's paraphrase. Listen to this. Let this hit your heart. Are you tired? Pause. It doesn't say pause, but that's what it says to me. Worn out? Question mark. Burned out on religion? If you are, what are you doing here? Because you know there's more. It's more about relationship, huh? That's not in there. I'm adding it. Here's the invitation to the good life. Come to me. Come to me. Did any of your parents used to say, or grands, come here? Did you ever hear that as a child? Must have just been me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. And I could also say, you'll find life to the full. Isn't that why he came? I'll show you how to take a real rest. Oh, I like this. Walk with me. And work with me. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Great line, I wish I would have written. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. In other words, if you're feeling that way today, don't blame me because I don't do that. That's not coming from me. Keep company with me. Be linked with me, be yoked with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Does anybody want to live freely and lightly besides me? The only way is the Jesus way. The Jesus way is to glorify God because he said, Father, bring glory to your name and to enjoy the relationship with the Father. How many of you know relationships are for enjoyment? I'm enjoying time with my friend Scott because our lives go so far back as we rehearse and reminisce about God's faithfulness in so many situations. Sometimes, and I just throw this out to you, I wonder what's the driving force of our hurriedness, unlike Jesus, the way. What's behind it? Well, when I was a youth pastor, I talk a lot about peer pressure. How many of you know that peer pressure doesn't end when you get out of high school? There's peer pressure from podcasts and social media and all kinds of pressures. Now, if you just do this, cross these T's and dot these I's, you'll have it all together. But I think one of the driving forces for our hurriedness today is that we have often a fear of missing out. Do they call that FOMO or is that old-fashioned now? Because, you know, I use something, I think I'm cool, and then, oh, that went out 5 years ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever. But think about it. And not only for us, but we're afraid for our kids. We're afraid if we don't have them in everything that's possible, they're going to miss out and get left behind. And our kid's special, you know, because our child's always the most special. And I always told people, yes, you have a special child. Child. You know, they tell me how mature their child is for their age. Yes, you have a very mature child of 2 years old or whatever it may be. Well, I'm kind of meddling here, am I not? Not really.
Do it.
Not really. When we choose to follow Jesus, and that's what this public declaration is about today with baptism, when we choose to follow Jesus and walk with him, he sets the pace. Yeah. And probably since he's walking, we walk with him.
That's right.
And for most of us, that's going to be a speed that slows us down and remind us of what really matters in life. You know why he wants us to be yoked with him and linked with him? Because he knows we're in trouble if we get ahead of him or if we lag behind him. But as long as we're shoulder to shoulder, how do you know we're on the way? If we want to live and love the way he did, we must follow his example, the scriptures say. As Matthew 11, take my yoke. We talked about that last week upon you. Some of you think that's an imprisoning thing, and I said last week that I need to clarify. I don't know if I said it in both services, but some of you are getting mixed up. You think a yoke's like a stockade. A stockade's something they used to put you in for punishment, public punishment and embarrassment. You remember that? Have any of you gotten a stockade at some amusement park? And then your spouse leaves you there and doesn't unlock you. But that's discipline. But listen, look at me. When you're yoked with Jesus, that's by choice. That's not bondage. That's freedom. Because you are linked with him, you're walking with him at all times. At college, at the university, at school, no matter, at work, wherever you may be, you're linked with Jesus. How many of you think that would impact the way you live your life when you realize that you are yoked, linked with him? Jesus did so many things, and he engaged in spiritual warfare. We may talk more about that later, but through that, through being alone with the Father, he was equipped and strengthened to face the things that he had to face the resistance that he had to. He began, after his baptism, he went out on that public ministry and began first about attending a wedding, and we may talk about that more last week, but I want to bring this story out quickly, that there was a story of in Mark 5, 21 through 43, and I'm not going to take time to read it all, but you can read it and look at it. But a religious leader, I believe it was Jairus, came to Jesus begging him to heal his daughter, who was extremely sick. Great stories in the Bible. And basically, he was saying, he was pressuring Jesus, you have to do it, you have to do it right now. And he was probably used to paying, if he said, come or go, people did it. He was pleading with Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus started probably walking on the way along with him, but on the way, on the way, here's another classic example. He just happened to encounter a woman who'd been sick for 12 years. It's a great read in the Bible, just a few verses. And as this little girl of Jairus lay dying, Jesus gave this woman who had been sick for 12 years his undivided attention. And what happened out of that? She experienced healing. Did she not?
Yeah.
Check it out. Check me out on that. And as Jesus was taking his time along the way, he was on his way, but he took time for people. And while he was on the way attending to others, that little girl died. That's what the scripture says. And he still did not quicken his pace. He kept walking. The story goes on. Yes, he did end up, much to the amazement of all, when he said, "She's not dead, she's only sleeping." And they thought he was crazy. But to the astonishment of all, he raised that young girl from the dead. The Jesus way. The Jesus way. As he walked intentionally to the cross, he came in. I think an example of that is coming into town humbly, riding on a donkey. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords riding on a donkey. Now, I got to tell you that I've been around horses a good bit, and I'm different. I'm not even saying bulls, but donkeys, I'm sure they do run, but I've never personally seen it. How many of you know donkeys aren't known for running? They're walking. In fact, when I think of the Eeyores, whenever I mention, I get three or four new stuffed animals of Eeyore. How many of you have ever seen Eeyore run in your life? Eeyore doesn't run, right? Yeah. But Jesus came appropriately on a donkey that was walking slowly into the city towards the cross eventually. We like Andy Griffith's show still around our house. Does anybody know Andy Griffith's show anymore? But there were a couple of titles, and I was going to allude to it, I don't have time, but there was one called Man in a Hurry about a businessman that comes to Mayberry, and he just tries to, and they end up settling him down. And then there's another one called The Sermon for Today, when the pastor kept going, "What's your hurry?" And that was as Barney was falling asleep, I think, in the service, whatever the case may be. But that is such a vivid description now of our culture. Busy, busy. Here's the thing in our busyness. Here's the thing I want you to think about. If we're super busy all the time, I wonder about this. Are you running to something or are you running away from something? Are you running away from hurt, from criticism, from a past that you can't really outrun? Or are you running towards something out there that you think you need to accomplish to be all that you need to be? I don't know. I'm just asking. The problem is when we're running to and from things and not facing the present right now, that doesn't ever lead us to be satisfied or significant. And even if we catch the dream that we're told we're chasing, we still come up empty on the inside. So I'm saying today that it's past time for us to choose what we have time for. Because who's responsible for the pace of our life? We don't need more time because that's an impossible stretch anyway. What we need to do is, like Jesus, learn to invest more time in what matters most. And I got to tell you, from my standpoint, I think that Jesus boiled it down to this: loving God and loving people. Would you agree with that? And that's the only thing that leads to the good life, because the good life is equal to living transformed. That doesn't mean we've arrived, we're there, we've been there, done that. It means that we're getting better like Jesus. And I'm concerned that so many of us are spending so much time on things that don't ultimately matter, have very little eternal value, that we have nothing left to give. I know we do all kinds of things. "Well, Pastor, you're saying my job's bad or the things I'm in, the extracurriculars." No, because you're embedded with people, and if you're touching people, if you're loving God and loving people in those situations, how many of you know that's an open door? That's a platform for sure. So I'm not being critical, but is that our goal? I don't know. You could Google it, I'm sure, but one of the things that I came up with was that, and I've heard just things about it in the last week, that about social media. They say that average, whoever the average is, but they spend like 706 hours yearly. TV is like 2,700 hours annually. Video game, listen to this, you can fuss about it. Experts say guys, by the age they reach 21, the average guy invests 10,000 hours in video games. Some of you are going, "That's nothing, I'm up to 20, 25. That's not necessarily a good thing. But you know, we've learned a long time ago, and experts have said that if you invest 10,000 hours in about anything, that almost makes you an expert. Agreed? So I would ask this question as I get ready to wrap it up. Investing 10,000 hours can accomplish so little or so much towards eternity. What if you invested some of those hours in quantities of time with family and friendship relationships, like I mentioned, the family table, in things that really matter? Sometimes, yes, The busyness of living our lives gets in the way of living the good life, which is the God life. So could I ask you, could you look at me, look at my eye and my heart today? How and where are you investing your life? The day, this day that the Lord has given you. What's going to come out of it? What's your life going to count for? Could I invite you to pray something like this? And when I pray, when I offer public prayer, it's not a formula, it's not a Nazarene way, but could you pray from your heart something like this? We call these palms up prayers, you know. Dear Lord, today I just want to praise you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, but I also want to thank you for the gift of this day. Today, Lord, this day that you have made, and I want to rejoice and be glad. Help me to walk slowly with Jesus and to love people, God and people deeply along the way. And Father, more than anything else, in every situation today, bring glory to your name. Over the years of ministry, I've heard John Maxwell talk many times. He was a pastor when I was in a group called Deliverance. We actually sang at his church in Lancaster, and I don't know him personally, but I've been around him a number of times and heard his teaching. And I remember him telling a long time ago, he had an executive pastor that was super sharp, and he was going to conquer all. You know, I mean, he was driven, he was efficient, and John would sit back and watch him because he is a people person. And it came to a head one day when Dan, his executive pastor, was rushing through the crowd, and he had a briefcase full of papers or whatever, and he collided with somebody, and the papers went everywhere. And instead of tending to the person, he was down. He was more intent about collecting those papers and getting to his destination. And John called him in to his office and said, listen, he said, I got to tell you something. I'm going to teach you something about leadership. He said, if you want to be a leader, God wants you to be at any level, you've got to be present, you've got to be available, and you've got to be relational. And he said, I'm giving you a challenge. I want to see you start walking slowly through the crowd. And Dan tells a story now. He's a very successful person now, a pastor and leader. He said, that changed his life. And he said, here's what I want to tell you. Dan, speaking now years later, he said, walking slowly means this. You make eye contact with people and smile. Yes, when you're in the Walmart line. When you're in the drive-thru and somebody cuts in front of you so you don't get out and fist fight, right, Kayla, my daughter-in-law? Not that she did it, but she observed it. I hope that was nobody in here that got in the fight. If you did, we're going to open the altars here shortly. That you stop to greet people personally and by name when you can. And it'd help if you all wore name tags. I do. What's your excuse? Oh, this is a big and dear to my heart. We're talking about relationships. Start by asking questions and listening. In other words, ask about them more than telling them about you. This, he's saying, this is the Jesus way, walking slowly through the crowd. And then he said, seeing people, not as interruptions, but as opportunities along the way. Huh? How many of you think that we could impact our world in greater ways if we would learn to walk slowly and walk with Jesus and have his mind and have his heart? Well, I guess I'm saying be present in the moment. Be all where you are. If you're not there, people know it. Choose to invest yourself in things that are going to matter now and then. Learn to sense God and know that he's always working, and recognize and experience him when you're walking slowly through the crowd, and that'll give you opportunities not to just pray for people, but even better, to pray with them. We call that pray now moments around here. Jesus, do you know why Jesus wept? I told you that was my favorite memory verse last week. You know why Jesus wept? Because Jesus walked. He saw the people grieving. He took time for them. He impacted people with his life and with his love. And as he walked deliberately towards the cross, God used him and brought glory to his name. Well, Pastor, I know Jesus. Yes, are you following Jesus? I think sometimes we think we know him, but we know more about him. But knowing him is following him. And to follow him is to know him and to love him even more. Jesus walked. Yeah, he walked slowly and deliberately in the direction of the cross. But every day along the way, he was fulfilling the Father's calling. So would you make a choice today to do life the Jesus way? Lay down your life, invest your life for things that matter most. Keep leaning and living towards eternity. Could I just give you a somber reminder today, no matter how you maybe feel about whatever's going on, this is not all there is. Do you believe that? If we really believe it, that's going to impact the way we choose to live. This is not all there is. Living the good life is the Jesus way. As we transition to baptism, I would ask you this. You can't walk with him and you can't live and love the way Jesus did unless he is in you. And the only way you can be yoked to him is when you invite him to come into your heart and say, yes, Jesus, I confess my sin. I turn from it. I'm going to live and love like you. I'm living to please you, to bring glory to your name. I want to enjoy life walking with you along the way. That's the starting point for whoever, wherever you might be today. Is he in you? Jesus said in Matthew 11 again, come to me and be welcomed into transformational living.